Acts chapter 27, verse 13. We'll start there. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we would be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, as humbly as we know how this morning, Lord. We just thank you, God, for the privilege to stand this morning, Father. We're thankful, Lord, just to be in your house this morning, Lord. And God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, Lord. If we get nothing else out of it, Lord, the reading of your word, it's so sweet to us, Lord. And God, we just pray that you'd have your way this morning, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd touch hearts this morning, Lord. Whatever the needs may be this morning, Father, we pray, God, that you would just open up hearts, Lord. And God, again, we just thank you for the privilege of being here. And Lord, we just ask you, God, just to show up in a mighty way this morning, Father. And Lord, we just want to thank you again for the privilege. And it's in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. As we stand here today, awful good news to hear about the brother's young daughter that's accepted Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what we're all here for today. We're here to worship him, and we're here to see others make it to heaven. And I tell you, it's a good place to be. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful day in here. Whether it's rainy and stormy outside, it's a beautiful day that God has given us. But it is a sunshiny day. But as we get into God's word here, I know that we all have trials and tribulations. Been there, you know, just come out of one of the biggest ones I've ever had in my life. But God saw us through. God sees you through today. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful today for what he's done for us. But the reading of his word here, as you can see, there's a storm a brewing, and they get to be in the midst of it. And in chapter 17, it says, when they used helps and undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. You know, so many times in our lives today, church, we forget to drop and kneel. We need to pray and to cry out to God in the times of our troubles and the times of... If you're one of his children today, I'm going to promise you one thing. It may not be easy on this side, but I promise you, his word tells you that he's going to see you home. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe no matter that word cancer or whatever, the things that comes up and the trials and the storms in our lives, he's going to see us through. You know, if he calls me home today, I'm still a winner either way, because I get to spend the rest of my life in a place called heaven today, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that today. You know, everybody that's within the sound of our voice this morning has something to praise him about. I don't know what you're... If you're saved, we got reason to praise him. I'm telling you, he's worthy today of all praise that we can give him. But here, the storms are coming, and what do? They try to fix it upon themselves. You know, there's been things that's come up in my life. I know that there's been things that's come up in your life that you can't fix. You can't change it. You can't change the circumstances that you're given sometimes. Here, Paul, I want you to think about his journey into Rome today. It wasn't an easy journey, but he was steadfast. You know, a few chapters back, I think in chapter 16, he was imprisoned. Paul chose to worship. You remember him and Silas praising God at the midnight hour, and the man got saved, and the family that he had got saved. I'm telling you, things are not always easy, and there's going to be storms that's going to come into our lives. There's going to be some of them to where we feel like we're taking on water. But God has a plan. Just as Paul is on his journey here, God has a plan for him. But here we go, and we get on down here into verse 20, or verse 19. It says, in the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I'm going to tell you today, there's some times that we think that there's no hope. We can get Christians today feel like there's no hope. They can get no peace and they can get no joy. I'm going to tell you today, church, that if we're where we need to be with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and you got Him way down here below the collarbone and you're living for Him, I'm going to tell you, our outlook is going to be different. You know, I don't have to look for the doom and gloom of this world. I'm going to tell you, if you want a good dose of something to bring you down, get a good copy of the Kingsport Times News and read the newspaper. Look, turn to Channel News 11 or Channel 5, whichever one you want, because they're no different today. Look at the national news today. I'm going to tell you, if you want doom and gloom, just look around you for just a few minutes, but we ought to come into the house of God. It's a refuge for each one of us that we can come in and we can worship Him, and it's a safe haven. That's what I'm going to call it this morning, because that's where we can come in and worship Him. Leave all the cares of this world on the outside. I'm going to tell you, brother, if you got you, we got our faith in the wrong thing sometimes. I was thinking about Brother Aaron and David. We work at the Eastman. I'm going to tell you, if you got your faith in your place of work or whatever these things, or the credit unions or wherever you're at this morning, it's in the wrong place, because they're going to let you down. There's been a whole lot of people just lately been let down by it. But I'm going to tell you one that will stick it closer than a brother, and that's my Heavenly Father this morning. I have never been able to wander around aimlessly unless it's by my choosing today. Because I'm telling you, He come this morning. He come with you, I hope. He come with me this morning, because He's here right now, because I can feel Him and I know that He's real today. Nobody will ever convince me that this thing's not real. I saw too many things, and I believe it in my heart today. We can put our faith that we're going to go to heaven and He saved this little girl. He saved your unworthy soul, but we can't have the faith that He's going to see us through the storms. That's our shortcoming. It's not His today, because He's God. And I'm telling you, He loves you this morning. You know, before you even accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He loved you. He loved you some 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And He loves you now. He loves each one of us, and I thank Him for that this morning. I thank Him again for saving my unworthy soul. I'm telling you, I'm not worthy of anything. I'm not worthy to be standing up here behind this desk this morning. But thanks be to God, He allowed me to. I hope and I pray that somehow, form or fashion, that He can use each one of us. You know, our desire ought to be to get to the other side this morning. Whatever journey that God has set you on, we need to be on that journey. We need to be doing the very best of our abilities at the job site, out here in the communities today. And what God has given you to do in this church house, it's a beautiful church. Somebody's cleaning it. If you're the one to clean it, keep on cleaning, because it's beautiful today. And it needs to be beautiful. But we also need to think about the condition of the ones sitting in the pews this morning. I'm telling you today, first and foremost, everybody that's in here, your heart condition is what matters. You know, people today are miserable, and Christians today are miserable and living a miserable life. And that's not God's choosing, that's ours today. He's given us all the hope and the joy and the peace and the comfort through these trials and the tribulations. And we need to keep on keeping on like Paul did here. We need to be a light to this lost and dying world, because I'm telling you, they're getting the gloom and doom all outside of here. They don't need it inside, and we don't either. But it says here that we should be saved. They lost all hope. Have you ever been there, friend, that you haven't had any hope, that you think that it ain't going to work out no more, that it's you're at the end? You think there's no hope for your family member. You think there's no hope for your co-workers. There's people down there where we work at, and I know that you got them where you work at. I don't care where you work at. There's people that thinks that they're on their way to heaven today, and I am not the judge. God did not call me to judge. He called me to preach His word. But I'm going to tell you today, we'd live in a different world if all the Christians in Kingsport lived like Christians today. I'm telling you today, it matters how we are. It matters how we are, and we wonder why there's no hope. Worked with a man for 25 years and got an opportunity to witness to him the other day. Opened the door wide open, and I had to spend the whole time trying to explain to him why Christians didn't appear to be any different than the lost folk. Hey, that ought to hit home to each one of us today. And that's the truth. He said, I can't understand why the ones that's professing that they have Christ are living life worse than I am. You try to explain that. Have you all saw it? Have you all saw it in your workplace? Have you all saw it in your communities? People professing Jesus Christ and living like the devil. I'm going to tell you today, people are being deceived day in and day out. And they're on a journey, but they may not be on God's journey. I want to be on God's ship tonight, or today. I want to follow Him in everything that we do, because it matters. It matters each one of us. I'm going to tell you, it matters that this little girl accepted Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know how old she is, but if she's old enough to know better, she's that old enough to be at the age of accountability. You know, and we all are. We can pick and choose when we go out this door the life that we're living. We can pick and choose how we have the hope and the peace and the joy. I'm going to tell you, it may not just fall in your lap, but I'm going to tell you, if you'll eat out of this book, that's where a lot of our peace and our joy is going to come from today. There's Christians today that are sitting in God's house that are starving to death because they will not eat at the Father's table. You can't get out in one or two messages a week in an hour's time or 30 minutes' time or whatever and to be fully satisfied, because we're spending all this time of things of the world but little time with God. And that's all me sometimes. I'm here just to preach His Word. We know we all have to look in the mirror and look at our own self. But in verse 21 it says, "But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained his harm and loss." Over in verse 9 and 10, Paul told them that storm was a-coming. And you know, I'm telling you today, if you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can hear that still small voice sometimes. It's going to tell you whether to go or whether to woe. And we need to be able to hear it. If you're here today and you can't never hear it, if you can go and to do and just whatever, but you never hear that small voice, you need a checkup. Because I'm thankful for that still small voice and the leadership that He gives us sometimes. I'm thankful that I'm not in this alone. I'm thankful that the journey that God has set before us, He didn't leave us aimlessly. We know we could sit here and wander around. You remember when the Israelites were wandering around in Egypt. We don't have to be that way today. They didn't have to be that way. They chose to wander around. They didn't want to step over into the land of Canaan today. And so many times today, we choose not to step over into the land of Canaan because we've got enough. We think we get enough on Sunday. We've got enough God. I don't have enough God. I'm telling you, I need Him more and more every day. I tell you, this old world needs Him more and more. This church needs Him. And I'm not judging you, but we all do. You know, I have prayed since the brother told me. He said that your all's pastor had moved on. And that's all he said. But I have prayed that God would send you. And I believe in my heart today that He don't have you folks wandering around aimlessly. I believe He's preparing somebody for this church. I have no idea who. But I believe He's going to send somebody. He knows the need today. And He knows that the journey that you're on, He knows that this community needs this church and needs it to be on fire for God. Because this community needs you. Just as these folks needed Paul to step out and to step up. In verse 22, and it says, "Now, and I exhort you to be of good cheer, and there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of this ship." Stay on the ship, folks. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to the same country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms." Water was getting more shallow and more shallow. "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." And you know, as I read that and I've prayed about it, and it talks about this here, that they were fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wish for the day. You know, I can remember the time in my life that I didn't know Him, that I didn't know the Lord as my personal Savior. And I can remember it was a time I looked back on, it was a time of darkness. And I'm thankful for the day. I'm thankful for when the light showed up in my life and it shined down upon me, because I was nothing but darkness. And here I can imagine these folks being out here. Could you imagine being out tossed to and fro in the darkness and the scared and all these things, but they were wishing for the day. I'm telling you today, that's what exactly we need to be wishing for. We need to be wishing for the light. We need to be hoping and have enough God in us to see that He's going to be the winner of this thing. You know, we're not on the losing side as Christians today. We're on the winning side. One day we're going to make it to heaven. And God's going to see us through this journey, just as He's going to see these through. It says in verse 30, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, and as though they had been cast anchors out of the foreship, Saul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." And here again, church, I don't know who's here. I don't know the hearts of anybody. I don't know nothing about nothing. But I know that my Lord and Savior, you have to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You have to accept Him and believe and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ today. That's what it took every one of us to be set free. But it's talking about you abide in the ship. I'm going to tell you today, it's time that we abide in the ship. If we're one of His, it's time that we hang on for whatever the storms are raging around us, for whatever the things that are coming, we need to stay in the ship. If you're not ever accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today would be a real good day for you to come to the light and to be able to see. Because I'm telling you, there was a day that I couldn't see nothing but darkness. I was out in the world, and that's all I thought about, all I cared about. I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the less I care. I don't care about my house no more. I don't care about all these material things. I don't care about the car I drive. I thank God for the blessings He gives me. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, first and foremost, I want to please my Heavenly Father. We were talking a few minutes ago to Sister Jan, and I said, she said that she got me this appointment, and I said, well, they can blame you for sending me. And she said, don't disappoint me. She was kidding. But you know, I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want to disappoint you folks. But I'm going to tell you today, I've got a responsibility to my Lord and my Savior to stand here and give you the word to the best of my ability. And I first and foremost don't want to disappoint Him today. I don't want to come up short. I don't want to fail Him. And I certainly don't want to fail you folks. God loves you. I can stand here and I don't know none of you, but I can stand up here today because of the love of Jesus Christ and tell you folks I love you this morning. And I mean it. I'm not just saying it. I hope the best for every one of you. I hope if you're here and you don't know Him, you'd come to know Him. And I hope I get to see you on the other side. One day we're all going there, because He's coming. He's coming. I heard a man the other day said folks are wanting to play hide and seek with God. I'm telling you, ready or not, He's coming. And the last name's going to get written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He is coming today. You've heard it and heard it and heard it. I've heard it since I've been in church. But He's coming. I don't know when. And if you don't, you may go by the grave. But you don't have to face death. And that ain't by nothing that I can do. I can just tell you about the one that can save you this morning. And I'm thankful for what He's done for us. But except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. People are falling by the wayside. Day after day, people are dropping off. I looked in the Times News the other day, and it seemed like a huge list of folks that's passed away. We've talked so many times. Just because they put in that obituary that you're of the Baptist faith. I don't care what faith you are. If you hadn't had the blood of Jesus applied to your life, you can write anything you want to in that newspaper. But your home is where you decide for it to be. God has no plans of sending you to hell. If you end up in hell today, it's of your own choosing. I'm telling you, He died for each one of us because He loved us. Not to condemn us, but to save us today. You know, and we need to have that to where we want to tell others. You know, if people were getting ready to walk off the edge of a cliff, would you try to stop them? We would, I hope. But yet, how many folks do you hear at the workplace that's trying to keep the lost folks from falling off into eternity of that place called hell? Nobody don't want to think about it. But whether you want to think about it or not, it's just as real as heaven is today. And it's of our choosing where we go. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. The 14th day. Wherefore I pray you take some meat, and for this for your health, and for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And you know, you could imagine going 14 days without eating. I don't think I can. You could imagine the weakness that they were in. And it talks about for their health, they were probably sick from not having any nourishment whatsoever. But I want you to think about on the spiritual side. And it talks about some meat. And it talks about for your health. And you know, we already talked about people that choose not to get into God's Word. And I'm going to tell you, we go back to people that are starving to death. Starving to death. People in God's house are starving to death sometimes because they won't eat. And I want you to think about how many times that we go out here and we put all of our faith in the doctors. We put all of our faith in those that might be at your church that you think might be prayer warriors or whatever. But how many times have we ate and had enough strength to do like Paul? And God's got this. When the storms come, how many of us drop to our knees and cry out to God immediately? Or how many times is it the last resort? We go through every avenue. We call the preacher. We call the pastor. We might call the deacons. We might spend 3 days in the ER. We might be in intensive care before we stop. And we cry out to the great physician. Because we're not eating. You know, if we want to our journey to be easy and to have the strength to go through, we need to eat. We need to be nourished. You know, and again, people are starving to death. There's many people that are blinded that don't even know that there are many Christians today that are literally starving. Heard another man preaching the other day, the biggest mission field, he said, in the United States is the church. And you know, you stop and you think about it. The church. You know, you can flip the TV on and hear all these ministries. The prosperity preaching and all those other things. You know, if we have to scratch the ground to get a tater every now and then or raise our own beans or all that other stuff, it's the best anyway. But if we have to continue to do that, I hope that I stay there and stay in God's will than for all this other prosperity in the world's eyes. I've got everything today. I have everything. I've got Jesus Christ in my heart today. What much more could we ask for? What much more could we desire if we've really got the goods this morning? I'm telling you, nothing else can replace it. Nothing in this world can. You know, I don't personally know the brother's daughter, but thanks be to God that he touched her heart and he opened up her eyes this morning. Praise him for that this morning. I lift that name up above all names this morning. I thank him for saving my soul. I thank him for saving your soul this morning. I'm telling you, how sweet, how much sweeter could it be that we serve a God that loved us just enough that he's going to see us to the other side. You know, he's going to see you folks to the other side. Ain't that good this morning? It may be with a new pastor, but he's going to send who you need this morning. It may not be who you think. I don't know who it is. May not have ever been here before. But God knows your needs. He knows the desires of your hearts this morning, just as he knowed. But he sent Paul on this journey. Excuse me. And he's taking care of Paul while he's on this journey. He's using Paul in a mighty way. Is he using you this morning? It says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. I'm sorry, I went the wrong way. We'll start back in 34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. And for there shall not an hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. They were all of good cheer. I want you to think about just for a minute, Paul. Right here, he stood. How many of us are willing to take just a little bit of a stand? All he did was tell them to eat and to get nourishment. He thanked God for it in front of them all. And what initially, what happened? It said in the next verse, they were all of good cheer. I'm going to tell you, they went from panic to all this other stuff to good cheer. Can you think about, folks, I know some folks that goes down to the cancer ward and all these other places, and they get just a little bit offered to pray with folks and all these other things. And I'm going to tell you, it matters today, these ministries. The sister was talking back here just a few minutes ago about something that the Lord had laid on her heart to do. I'm going to tell you, if God lays it on your heart to do, we need to step out and to step up, and we need to do it to the best of our abilities, because whether you know it or not, you're touching somebody's heart, sister. I'm telling you, with those that's going to the cancer wards down there, they're touching hearts and they're opening up eyes. You know, there's people today, I believe that I was 26 years old or in my early 20s before anybody ever witnessed to me. Now, we're living in a land that you can go and you can get God's word. I don't know, I live in Blountville, and I can't tell you the churches that I passed on the way to this church. Cars at every one of them, and we got here early because I didn't know how long. Church after church after church we passed. So why was I 23 years old before the first man ever witnessed to me? That's the world we're living in. We're failing, church. I don't know about this church, but I'm talking about as God's church in a whole. I don't know any of you. I don't know nothing about going on here, and I don't mean it that way. But it's time that we open up our eyes and we live the life that we're blinded and we can't see. And then we wonder why folks don't want nothing to do with church. And if we open up our eyes, we know why they don't want what we got sometimes. And it's on me. It ain't just on you. I'm telling you today, I have my own struggles today. But it's time that we stand up and we make a difference like Paul. We're not to set our sights and be like Paul. We're to set our sights and be like Jesus Christ today. And he has the love like no other. And I always have a real problem remembering where I left off. But it says that when he had thus spoken, he took bread. I'm way back there. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forefront struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers took counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea, and get to land. You know, I was thinking about this, and Brother Paul, God had sent him on this journey. God wasn't done with Paul here. I'm sure that this journey, they was all scared. I'm sure that they didn't know what. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord put favor in that centurion's heart toward Paul. They wanted to execute all those prisoners that were on there because they were afraid they would get away. And they knew that if they would get away, that they would face the death. But I believe with all my heart that God, if you're willing here today and you're willing to serve Him, you're willing to do whatever you can for Him. He's the same God that put a watchful eye over Paul here. It's the same God that we're on this journey. He's going to see us through to the other side. Let's go on to read here. It says one more verse. And it says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, And so it came to pass, they escaped all safe to land. And you know, as we study this and we think about this just for a little bit more, it talks about all this. I do believe, like we just said, that he had put favor in that centurion's eyes, but I also believe he made a way. There was people on that ship, they said, that couldn't swim. I'm going to tell you, I can remember the day that I couldn't swim in the spiritual eye. I was drowning. I was drowning in my sin today, but I thanks be to God that he pulled me out. And it talks about some of them having to hang on to the pieces of the ship and the broken pieces and some on boards. It may not be the way that's the easy way today, but I'm going to tell you today, if you've got to hang on to just that little piece to get to the other side, you hang on, brother and sister, because it's a coming. I can tell you today, I know that these folks thought that it was going to be that they were going to drown, that the ship was going to sink, but I'm telling you, the Lord had better plans. And he was with Paul. He was with these other folks. Paul told them that they didn't have nothing to fear about, that the Lord had shown them that they were all going to be saved. Not a hair on their head was going to be hurt. But here, they had this probably struggle. They was probably some hanging on for dear life. I can't swim, and I'd be hanging on for dear life. But God made a way. Folks, if you're here today and that word cancer has come up into your life, he's going to make a way for you of escape. If you've got family members, I'm telling you today, that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you hang on and you keep keeping on because they're looking to you. They need your prayers. They need you living a life that's pleasing to him just like Paul was. This community needs this church to be on fire for God. And it's a world out there that's dying, that ain't going to that place called heaven. Whether we like to hear it or whether we don't, it's fact. And that's Bible tonight. The Bible tells us in Revelations, it talks about people that are warm and cold. And it talks about being, well, he'll spew you out. And there's people today, it's easier to talk to lost folks than some of the folks that profess that they go to church. Just because you go to church does not make you saved. If you haven't had the blood of Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior. But thank the Lord he's made that way. Just as he made this way for this ship, he's made the way for each one of us this morning. And I thank you for that. If everybody in here is saved, that's wonderful. It is. It's something to praise him for. If your family's saved, it's something to praise him for. If you're the only one in your family, that's something to praise him for. You're the light that family needs this morning. In this lost and dying world. But God is good this morning. And I thank him for the way that he's made. If everybody would stand and bow your heads just for a minute, please. I don't know how things normally go here or how you normally do things. Feel led that we ask you if you're here this morning and you don't know him as Lord and Savior. And he's a dealing with your heart. Would you come pray? It would be an awful good day for you to be set free, and free indeed. Would you come pray? Anybody that's here this morning that wants a closer walk, I'm telling you, I don't know your heart's condition, but if you just need just a little bit more him, will you come get a fill up this morning? Will you top off your tank? Are you on fire for God? Are you telling others in the community and at the workplace about just how good God is? About how he's delivered you from that place we've already been talking about? How he's delivered you from the sicknesses you've had? How he's delivered your family from those things? That he's delivered you and made a way for you to go to heaven? Are you willing to come pray and to seek him this morning? He'll help you along your journey. If you're not sure this morning what your journey is, he may be calling you into the ministry. He may be having you to step out and to step up to do something in this church. Would you be willing to come and to ask for guidance this morning? Because he knows. Just as he knew the journey that Paul needed to be on, he knows the journey that you need to be on this morning. He knows the path that you need to follow. He needs the direction that you need to go. Someone else. I know that we need him. What about your church? No doubt some of you have been praying for the church. Would you pray? Come pray for the guidance of this church, that the Lord would send exactly who you need. You know, I don't know who it is. No doubt you all probably don't know. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again, Lord, as humbly as we know how, Father. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, Father. And God, we just pray, God, that you just bless this church, Father. I pray, God, that you just use them in a mighty way. And Lord, again, we just thank you, God, for the privilege of being here this morning, Lord. And we're thankful, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. We're thankful for your word this morning, Lord. And just pray, God, that you'd lead and guide this morning, Father, throughout the day, Lord. And pray, God, that you'd just be with each one, Lord. And for somebody here that don't know you, Lord, we just pray, God, that you'd just open up their eyes, Lord. Pray, God, you'd continue to deal with their hearts, Lord. And again, we thank you, God, most of all for our salvation, Father. We thank you for saving our souls. And it's in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.